There is a moral world around us that is every bit as real as the physical world that surrounds us, though sometimes it can be harder to see. That moral world was created by the same one who created the physical world, namely God. And so learning to, well, it's a moral world of right and wrong, a moral world of blessing and curses. And though we live in a fallen world, so it's difficult sometimes to see exactly what is right, exactly what is wrong, as we pursue the one who invented that moral world, who created that moral world, and we seek his ways, and we look to align our lives to those patterns and trends of right and wrong, of blessing and cursing, that's what the Bible calls wisdom. And that's a series that we're in called called Housewise. The idea that one of the best things we can do for our lives, one of the best things we can do for our homes, is to grow in wisdom. And so throughout the series, you know, that's we're about coming up on the halfway mark for it. We're going to be in Proverbs throughout September and October. I'm asking people to make three commitments. Commitment number one, okay, is that we would seek wisdom from God. Say it with me. Number one, we seek wisdom from God because he's the author of wisdom. So we're challenging each other to be in the Word. Many of you are in this really simple Bible plan, and we're doing it together, is just reading the chapter in Proverbs that corresponds with the chapter or the day that it is in the month. So today is the 27th. So many of you today were in Proverbs chapter 27. That's just a really simple way to get into the Word. And then as we read, trusting that the Spirit of God speaks to us through the Word of God. So see what you notice and then talk to God about it. There's just these beautiful principles of wisdom throughout. Now, a proverb isn't necessarily a promise. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen exactly in the way that if you do this, then this will happen. That's not necessarily how proverbs work. This is general advice, but these are nonetheless powerful principles that can align our hearts with God's will and God's ways. So we seek wisdom from God. The second thing, say with me, two. I will spend less time consuming and more time thinking, because you see, we live in a world that is absolutely drenched in information but parched for wisdom. So last week I had you do this little motion. Do this with me again. Okay, we're going to train our souls. When my thumb is moving, my brain probably isn't. Or to put this maybe a little more accurately, is that when I'm just consuming information, and we're consuming information all the time, we have more data around us than any other point in history ever. When I'm just consuming information, I'm not necessarily reflecting on that information. When I'm thumbing, I'm probably not thinking. When I'm reacting, kind of like we do in Instagram or in Facebook or in Twitter, Instagram for young people, Facebook for old people, and Twitter for angry people. You know, when we're just reacting to all that stuff, we're probably not reflecting. Now, it's not bad to be online. That's one of the ways that we're staying connected right now. It's a beautiful tool, but we've got to be really, really careful about it. Really careful about it. You know, this is helpful to think about this, you know, and when you are on social media, whether that's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, wherever, there are trillion-dollar supercomputers on the other side of the screen, programmed by some of the brightest minds on the planet, all of them trying to keep you scrolling. And so if you've ever had that experience when you're like, I'm just going to go on Facebook for 5 minutes, and then 45 minutes has passed? Ever had that happen? Hands up. Yeah, little confession booth. Right. That's because they're really good at it. And so as we look to grow in wisdom, doesn't mean we need to abstain from all media or anything like that. There's a lot of good in those things. But we're going to be mindful about how we engage. I'm going to spend less time consuming and more time thinking. More time thinking. See, information is fast and shallow, but wisdom is slow and deep. Information is fast and shallow. Let's see your thumbs. Work those muscles. But wisdom is slow and deep. So we're mindful about that. Thirdly, is that we are making a commitment to look for wise examples around us. Look to your left in the room. Go ahead. I can see you. Online, I can't see you. You can look to your left as if that's the cat, turn away. That's not, there's no wisdom there. But look to the left, look to the right, wherever you are. That could be them. God has, because he loves you and wants you to grow in wisdom, he has placed wise people around you. It might even be that person you just looked at. But we will be looking for the wise examples around us and looking to gauge wisdom by the biblical standards, which is why we need to be in the Word, need to be mindful of passages like James chapter 3, verse 13. You know, who is wise among you? Let them show it through good deeds done in humility. Who are the wise people who have a humble heart? They love Jesus and they're leading a really good life. I'm going to look for the wise examples around me because God loves you enough that he's placed them there. Now, today we're going to be looking at one of the principles that we actually find in Proverbs 27. If you're following along with our little reading plan, you were there this morning. And even if you didn't read this morning from Proverbs 27, you've probably heard this verse. This is one of the verses in the Bible that, they make really great posters. I mean, it's just one of those general truths. It's just so profound. We're going to look at the theme of friendship. Now, this is something that if you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you're an aunt and uncle, or you're a teacher, you are probably mindful of this principle in your children. Like, you're careful about who your kids are hanging out with, right? But sometimes as adults, we forget that the same principle that has such a powerful influence on our children applies to us as well. So here's the verse, and then we'll talk about it a bit. Okay, Proverbs 27:17. If you're in the room, let's say this out loud together. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Let's say it together again, and online, you join us nice and loud so we can hear you. That'd be really loud. That'd be so cool. Okay, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. No, notice there's no qualifier in there. Like, if as iron sharpens iron, one person might sharpen another. This is a ironclad, to use a pun, principle that every one of us influences the people around us, and every one of us is also influenced by the people around us. In Proverbs 13:20, it says a similar kind of thing. You might have heard this verse before as well. Walk with the wise. Let's say it together out loud. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. A companion of fools suffers harm. That explains some of my teen years, like, perfectly. Because here's the principle. Chances are every truly wise thing you did and every truly foolish thing you did, every time you found resiliency or courage that you didn't think you had on your own, and every time you did something just so boneheaded you can hardly believe it. In almost every case, you had an accomplice, didn't you? You had somebody helping you along. So here's a phrase that our kids have heard a bunch of times, but this is a good way to look at it. If you're taking notes today, this would be a good thing to write down. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Because the truth is, all of us are influenced by the people around us. And so as we choose our friends, we choose our influences. Now, just coming back to that verse, walk with the wise. Let's go back and put that one up on the screen. To walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Notice that the attribute we're looking for there is wisdom. Biblical wisdom. Who are the wise people around us? Because sometimes, when we're choosing our friends, we're just looking for people who are similar to us. So here's another good thing to remember with this, is walk with the wise and not necessarily the similar. Now, there's nothing wrong with having friends that like some of the same things that you do. You got some of the same hobbies. You may have some of the same worldviews. You might come from the same socioeconomic class, the same race, the same cultural background. That's fine. But if you really want your life to deepen and to grow even deeper in wisdom and broader perspective, it's good to have wise people, not just any person, but wise people. Wise friendships from another race, from another cultural background, from a different socioeconomic group, maybe someone that views the world politically different than you do. You know, maybe someone that comes from a different income bracket than you do. Because those wise people from a different perspective can expand how you see the world. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. And fools are found in every socioeconomic group, and fools are found in every racial group, and fools are found in from every cultural background, aren't they? Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. So today I wanted us to look at just a couple of aspects of friendship. One is kind of the you'd almost think of this more as the guarding piece. How do we guard our friendship? And I want to introduce you to an illustration, I guess, that I've personally found helpful. It's the illustration of the courtyard and the keep. The courtyard and the keep. Now, Proverbs 18:24, it says this. One who has unreliable friends... Oh, some of it got off the screen. But some of unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. Ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's a good reminder that not every person in your life that would claim to be a friend is necessarily going to be a really solid friend, right? You might have 600 friends on Facebook, but that doesn't mean when you're in a crisis that they're going to be there for you, right? That there's a difference between just kind of casual friends and the people you can truly trust. So here's where this illustration of the courtyard and the keep has been helpful. We're going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to play with this a little like a weatherman. This is so fun. Okay, in my nerd world, in the room, this just looks really weird, but online, it probably looks stunning. Okay, here's the idea, is that your life, your heart is like a castle. It's like a castle. It's like a fortress. Now, in this super detailed, incredible illustration we have here on the screen of a medieval castle, see, every castle has an outer court, right? And you need to pass through the gate of the outer court to be led into the castle. And as you pass through the outer gate, there's going to be some measure of security in enabling you to come into the courtyard. And our lives need to be like that. We need to have some measure of security. We need to have some measure of discernment about who we let into the courtyard of our life. But inside the castle, there's not only the courtyard, there's also the keep. You know, there's a fortress within the fortress that fewer people have access to. Does that make sense? And you have one level of security for the courtyard and an entirely different level of security for the keep. It's good to have many friends. It's good to invite many people into the courtyard of your life. Be discerning about it. But it's good to have many friends in your courtyard. You will probably have very few people in the keep. Because the way that you or I or we can know, you know, who needs to be in the courtyard of our life, who needs to be in the keep of our life, we need to see how people respond over time. Time builds trust. Grow in trust, but trust carefully. So have less security on the courtyard of your life. And probably more security on the keep of your life. Watch how people respond in the courtyard. See how people respond with the truths that you entrust them with. And chances are, over time, there will be some who prove themselves to be truly trustworthy. The courtyard and the keep. Not everybody gets to walk straight into the keep. We can end up in some places of some real heartache when we entrust the wrong people too soon. The courtyard and the keep. So that's the defensive aspect of friendship. It's good to be discerning. It's good to be wise there. But there's also the advancing aspect of friendship. The skills that we can develop in our life in order to build better friendships. And so here's the other piece of the piece I want to talk about today. And it might even seem like this is these two are opposites or they're opposed to one another when they're actually complementary. We want to have the courtyard and the keep of our life, but we also want to make sure that we strive to be the kind of friend that you long to have. Strive to be the kind of friend that you long to have. Proverbs 17:17 reminds us of this. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for the time of adversity. That you want to be the kind of loyal friend to the people around you that you are longing to have in your own life. See, because we live in a world where, and I wonder sometimes if this aspect of friendship is the place that we struggle the most, because here's what I'm seeing, and I could be completely and totally wrong, so this is just my opinion on this. I actually think that we live in a time where we are more connected than ever, and at the same time, more isolated than ever. That actually forming good, solid, faithful friendships is harder than it has ever been. Perhaps it's because of the screens, because of the increased tensions and all those things, but I think people are having a harder time with some of those basic social skills, the basic capacity to reach out. And here's what I've observed, and again, I could be completely and totally wrong, but see what you think about this. Most people that I'm talking to right now are finding themselves with very little emotional margin. We're just pushed right to the max. And because there's very little emotional margin, there's an aspect to which the majority of people that you're interacting with around you are just desperate to have somebody care for them. And so, you know, the person that you're meeting, that you're aware of, you're coming face to face with, what they're wondering about is, does this person really care about me? Can they carry any of the weight that is on my heart right now? Because all of us are carrying so much. And so it's like there's billions of people on the planet, all of whom are wondering, who's there for me? Who's there for me? Who's there for me? Who's there for me? All of them wanting to connect, but often so empty, so running on empty, that they barely have the capacity to reach out. Do you agree? So it's harder to form friendships. There's so many things going on in life. There is so much pressure, and we're feeling it so very, very much. But that's also where, as Christians, we have the ability to tap into something that can be truly life-changing, not only for us, but for the people around us in that area of friendship. You see, we have a friend. We have an example of friendship available to us that, well, it never runs out. It's always available. One who is always there for us, one who truly sticks closer than a brother. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 15, verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you, what's the word?
Friends.
For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. One of the thousands of benefits that comes into our life from developing our relationship with Christ, from that time that you spend with Him in prayer, that time you spend in the Word seeking Him, that time of just trusting Him, is that He, through the Holy Spirit's work in your and my life, is that He can give us an extra measure of peace and joy and love. That Jesus really can be our deepest and best friend. Amen?
Amen?
And as we tap into Jesus, we can find a strength that we didn't have on our own. Now, that's not to say we got to be really careful about this. That's not like I'm trying to go through the world just me and Jesus. No. Jesus created us for community. We are people that need to have other people around us. But what our relationship with Jesus can do is it can give us the margin we need to reach out to the people around us. See, that's why right now, and I've said this many times during this whole COVID pandemic thing, that's why your one-on-one devotional time with the Lord is one of the most strategic, one of the most valuable, one of the most, I mean, it's emotional and spiritual survival. And it's also the best place for us to refuel, for us to find the strength that we need so that we can reach out to a world that is lonely, that's isolated, and so that we have the capacity to form the kinds of mutually upbuilding friendships that we need. So let's look to apply some of this to our lives today. I want to challenge us to spend some time with the Lord on that topic of friendship. I want to invite you to pray for your friendships. What is God calling you to do in that arena of friendship? Who's He calling you to reach out to? How's your friendship tank? Do you feel full? Do you feel empty? Jesus can give us a capacity to reach out. Now, as a person who sometimes finds it a little bit difficult to reach out to the people around me, here's something that I've learned over the years that has been helpful. Is that it's helpful for me to remember, especially when I'm a moderate extrovert, but I've got plenty of introvert tendencies. So sometimes it's a little bit tougher for me. Something that's been helpful for me is to remember that the people around me as they're evaluating me, you know, as people getting to meet you, they're not looking to be impressed. They're looking to be loved. And some of one of the best skills I can develop in my mind, and just want to encourage you with this, is just to be curious about the people around you. Like, to wonder about what's going on in their life. And let that guide how you engage the conversation. Ask questions that are just simply curious. Because chances are the person that you're speaking to, whether you're meeting them at a grocery store, in a church foyer, or a backyard barbecue, they probably, they're not there to try to figure out whether or not they're impressed with you. They just want to know whether or not somebody cares for them at all. So be curious. Be curious. Notice. Anyway, so I want us to take some time to pray for our friendships. You know, how do you feel about the friendships in your life? Who are the people who are in your keep? Who are those close friends? And if there's no one in the keep, start with Jesus and ask Him to build in you a capacity to love and trust that carefully and over time, you can add more people to it. So let's pray for our friendships. And and lean on Jesus as your friend. So just invite you to pray. So if you're in the room, would you bow your heads with me? If you're online, You can keep your eyes open or close them, whatever. But just to take some time just to pray for those friendships. Oh God, would you help us to see the people you've already placed in our lives? Those wise people who can be good companions in life. And just invite you, just maybe under your breath or silently, just to thank God by name for some of the people that you would consider your closest friends. Those people who are in your keep. You should just take a moment and just lift up lift up their name to the Lord. Thank you, God, that you provide. You provide the friendships that we need. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the greatest example of friendship ever. That you laid down your life for us, that you reached out to us before we had the capacity to reach out to you. That you are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Lord, may we draw near to you so that you might fill us up, strengthen us, and then send us out to reach out to one another and to a world that desperately needs true friendship. Turn to you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.